Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would be present with us. As we open up your scriptures, as we see a familiar passage, we pray that you would open up our eyes and our ears, that we may find new things, and that we may find ourselves in there as well. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks, a God who's in control. And we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to begin by simply recognizing that sheep are among the most important of all domesticated animals, and were probably among the first domesticated. Estimates range around 11,000 or 9,000 BC. So a long time ago. There's evidence that wool was used in fabrics as early as the early 4000 BC. And it's not hard to explain why sheep are so important. Sheep produce wool, meat, milk, leather, and so food and clothing, which makes them quite helpful to have around. But then there's some other things that you probably should know. There are more than 400 different breeds of sheep. I've seen estimates close to 1,000. It really depends on what you define as a breed of a sheep. Their average lifespan is about 7 years. They can weigh around over 350 pounds. So it's a big sheep. There are about 1 billion sheep in the world, about 185 million in China, 89 in Australia and Texas. We used to have over 1 million. Now we have a little under 1 million. Sheep have no incisor teeth on their upper jaw and 8 on their lower jaw. And so when they graze on grass, they can actually bite way closer to the ground than cattle, which can actually severely damage the plants that they're eating. That may actually become relevant later. Sheep have very few ways of defending themselves and therefore are very vulnerable to predators. But wait, there's more. I want to share with you some of their behavioral characteristics as well. And these may prove to actually be a little bit more relevant to us, because sometimes, maybe occasionally, we have some behaviors that mimic theirs. For example, sheep can get so caught up in what they're doing, for them that's often eating, so that they can find themselves completely lost. They can put their heads down and just start eating like a runaway lawnmower, and they just start eating, and when they finally look up, they don't know where they are. There's no flock around anymore. There's no shepherd anymore. They're completely lost. Imagine that, getting so caught up in what you're doing, you're missing the crucial things going by. Or imagine that, so caught up in what you're thinking about or listening to, that when you kind of look up while you're driving, you realize you missed an exit. Imagine that, so caught up on what's happening with your phone, that you miss the people all around you. Yeah. In a semi-related way, sheep have a tendency to follow, but occasionally they get misled by following the wrong thing. They follow a sheep, they follow a goat, they follow the wrong shepherd, and they can be led astray. I'm sure none of you have ever wandered off after something or someone that you probably shouldn't have. Another behavioral characteristic is that sheep, unsurprisingly, have a strong flocking behavior. When trouble comes, when there's conflict, they fight to be the farthest inside the group. The strongest animals fight their way to the middle of the flock in order to remain safe, and the weaker animals on the outside remain a little bit more vulnerable to danger. Imagine that. There's a little bit of disagreement, a little bit of conflict, a little bit of contention, and instead of trying to work through it, we just circle the wagons and all kind of face inward. That's weird. Sheep are strange animals. One last one for now. Sheep are often completely reliant on their shepherds. They can't defend themselves against predators, and they can't necessarily find food or water by themselves. Not only that, but they'll overgraze the grasslands, to the point where there's no more grass on it. They need someone, it turns out, to watch out for them, to have their best long-term interests in mind, and so they don't do very well. It's weird for kind of a natural animal to not do well without human intervention, but sheep, for the most part, are like that. Imagine that, getting so caught up in the now that we have trouble looking ahead toward what may be coming. Now, you may be asking, why all this talk about sheep? as if I needed a reason to look up something random and talk about it for 10 minutes. But there is a reason. This, we are starting, and we kind of actually started a couple days ago, but we are starting a series working through Psalm 23. So throughout Lent, we're going to work our way through Psalm 23, phrase by phrase by phrase. This is a very well-known psalm. This is probably one of the best-known chapters of the Bible. Additionally, we're not going to start it this week, but we'll probably start next week, working to just memorize Psalm 23. If you haven't memorized it yet, we'll start next week. And so by the time we get to Easter, we should all be able to just say it together. That's next week, not this week. Today, I'm just going to read it to you. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We began on Ash Wednesday a couple days ago by looking at the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." Today we are going to continue this journey, and we're going to be looking at, "I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Now, it may be worth recognizing as we begin what the significance of saying, "I shall not be in want," really is. You see, the reason that that statement would be important is because we tend to live in a state of wanting. To say, "I shall not be in want," is different from the norm. Going even a bit further and a little bit farther is the idea that a good shepherd might need to make us lie down in green pastures, which should strike you as odd. It doesn't say will allow us to lie down in green pastures, will invite us to lie down in green pastures. It says will make us lie down in green pastures, as if we are not good at lying down on our own. As if there's something that can keep us from finding contentment. As if we don't tend to be at peace. And therefore, we might actually need someone to require us or even help us to lie down. Digging into this analogy a bit more, it turns out that sheep actually need help lying down. Philip Keller, in a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, writes, "The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax." And then finally, "Sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger." Did you catch all those? Sheep won't lie down unless they are free from fear, unless they feel safe. Sheep won't lie down unless they are free from conflict, unless they feel settled. Sheep won't lie down unless they feel free from agitation, unless they feel satisfied. And sheep won't lie down unless they are free from hunger, unless they feel sated. In other words, a sheep needs to feel content and secure and at peace in order to be able to rest. In other words, maybe they're getting it backwards. It's as if the contentment and the satisfaction has to happen before they lie down. Of course, before we make fun of these silly animals, maybe we should stop for a minute and recognize all the ways that we live the same way. You see, sometimes we are overly fearful. Sometimes we are frustrated. Sometimes we become dissatisfied. Sometimes we are restless. Our fearfulness becomes especially evident in those seasons when it seems like everything we look at is made to make us afraid. When the news is regularly trying to frighten us. When we're worried about others and ourselves. Our frustration becomes obvious as people rub us the wrong way, as we hold grudges, as we have trouble forgiving, as people just make us angry. Our frustration can become quite obvious. Then there's our dissatisfaction. Sometimes my life doesn't go the way I think it should. Sometimes I feel forced to do things I don't want to do. Sometimes I believe that I don't have much control. And then finally, restlessness. We have so much trouble feeling content, feeling whole, feeling grateful. We're always looking to what's bigger, what's better, what's next, instead of simply enjoying where we are, who we're with, what we're doing, and what we have. All that to say, maybe we actually have more in common than with sheep than we would care to admit. Because maybe there are times when we need to be made to lie down. Because we aren't very good at being at peace. So maybe we need a good shepherd in our lives to help us live without want, to provide for us, to protect us, to be with us. Or in the words of the psalmist, to make us lie down in green pastures and to lead us beside quiet waters. That's going to require us to have a good shepherd, because we won't be able to get there on our own. We won't arrive at green pastures. We won't arrive by quiet waters unless we have help. But maybe we could get at this a different way. When you hear that phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, what do you think of? What goes through your head? If you've ever seen any picture ever of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, if you're like me, there's always these rolling green fields that spread off into the distance with dark, lush, green grass. Maybe there's a little pond with a little rowboat alongside a little dock. There's a Huck Finn-like shepherd lying in the field with a long piece of grass hanging out of his mouth, with a hat down kind of mostly over his eyes. Big, fluffy clouds moving through the sky. And then there are a couple of sheep lazily wandering around, eating, napping, drinking in peace. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. That's what I picture. And it's completely wrong. Because you have to remember who's writing this psalm and where they were when they wrote it. This psalm isn't written in Scotland or Australia with the green fields. It was written in Israel. It was written in the Middle East. And yes, there are some very, very fertile areas in that part of the world, but they use those areas for farming. You don't put sheep where you have wheat and other plants. You kick those people off and they have to go somewhere else. So where are the sheep raised? Where do the shepherds take their sheep? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. The shepherds take their sheep into the wilderness, into the desert. Think arid, think rocky, think hot. I heard a sermon one time in which the preacher had taken a tour of that area, and at some point, the guide knelt down and picked something very, very small up, and he showed them two blades of grass, and he told them, "Look around. We are standing in green pastures." And the group looks around and all they can see is rocks and dirt and ground. And then as they look a little bit closer, there's these small little sprigs of grass coming out through the rocks. See, it's the wilderness, it's the desert, it doesn't rain very often, but therefore there's enough moisture because of the hot and cold of the night. There's enough moisture in the air that at night, when it gets a little bit colder, it forms some condensation on some of the larger rocks, and that rolls off and hits the ground and provides just enough water for a little bit of grass to grow. And this is why we need a shepherd. In that first kind of Scotland picture of pastures, you as a sheep don't really need your shepherd all that much. I mean, long term, sure. Keep you healthy and keep you safe, that's important. But the fact of the matter is there's food all over the place, and so I can just eat at my heart's content. But that's not what happens if you live in the wilderness. If you're a sheep living in the desert, you need your shepherd. You need your shepherd because only the shepherd knows where the green pasture is. Only the shepherd knows how the winds have changed and where the vegetation might be. Only the shepherd knows where the other shepherds have already taken their flocks. Suddenly, you as a sheep need your shepherd, or you don't eat. But in the desert, you need the shepherd for more than just food. You also need them for water. Now, in the desert, obviously, water isn't just a scarce thing. It actually becomes a dangerous thing. In the desert, when you hear about water, you think chaos, you think danger. You see, it doesn't rain often in the desert, and so the land is very hard and very dry. Not only that, there's these deep canyons that are called wadis. And a wadi is basically a dried up riverbed with very, very steep sides. Some of them will stretch for miles. And so when the water finally does get on the ground, it funnels into these channels, into these canyons, and then it starts traveling very, very fast. So think flash flood with high walls. Now, what makes these even more dangerous is that you can be in a wadi, because that's probably where the water is going to be. It's down in one of the, there's enough shade down there that maybe there's a little pool of water down there. So that's not a bad place to look for water. So you're down there, and before you went down in the canyon, you looked around, because you're a good shepherd. You looked around, and there's not a cloud in the sky anywhere, as far as the eye can see in every direction. So it's safe. What you don't know is 40 miles away, it's raining. And that rain is getting into that wadi, the same wadi that you're in. And pretty soon, it's going to come flooding through this canyon with very little warning. Actually, I'm told that shepherds would blow their horns as they saw the water coming, and you would kind of just blow your horn all the way. Everyone who heard it would blow it so that people would know that the water's coming very fast. A few years ago, I read that in a wadi called the Engedi, there was a wall of water 70 feet high that came flooding through. An hour later, it was dry again. So it gives you a picture of what this could be. You're a shepherd, you're a couple of sheep, you're in one of these canyons. If the water's coming, you're not going to get out in time unless you know it's coming. If you're a sheep, you're going to need a good shepherd to help. Rushing water can be dangerous. Can be lethal. So what the shepherds would do is they would dig small wells in the wadis so that when the water comes barreling down the mountain, it would fill up these small wells. And after all the water's gone, you could lead the sheep down and get a drink. But again, only the shepherds know where these are, and so you need a good shepherd. Now, it's not enough to just have a good shepherd. You also have to actually follow your good shepherd. You actually have to listen to your shepherd. You actually have to trust them. And this is only made all the harder because you may not know why your shepherd is leading you a certain way, doing a certain thing. And yet, to not trust your shepherd may ultimately lead to your danger and death. You see, as a sheep, you are completely reliant upon your shepherd for both food and water. When David was writing this psalm, and when the people of that time would have heard it, these would have been the images that psalm evoked. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Obviously, you'd have to trust your shepherd. You follow the shepherd because if you don't, you won't find food. You follow your shepherd because if you don't, you won't find water. You follow your shepherd because if you don't, you won't find peace. Because only a shepherd can lead you to green pastures. And only a shepherd can warn you when it's time to get out of the canyon because a flood is coming. And only a shepherd can give you enough comfort so that you may find satisfaction, so that you may find comfort and contentment, so that you may be able to lie down. But it's about trust. The story has been told of a man who was crossing a desert in the days of the pioneers, and he ran into trouble and he was dying of thirst when suddenly he spotted a pump near an old abandoned shack. He had no water to prime the pump, but then he noticed there was a jug of water near the pump, and there was a note attached. And it read, "There is just enough water in this jug to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. This well has never gone dry, even in the worst of times. Pour all of the water in the top of the pump, and then pump the handle quickly, and you can have a drink. After you've had your drink, refill this jug for the next person who comes along this way." What do? You're dying of thirst. You could follow the instructions and prime the pump without first taking a drink, but that takes a lot of trust. You have to trust the instructions. You have to trust that the pump's going to work. You have to trust that no one else has taken a drink out of the water before you even got there. And if you pour all the water in the pump and something goes wrong, you don't drink. Or you can drink from the jug, but then it never works again, and that may not be enough water either. You have to trust, just like the sheep have to trust their shepherd. So what do we do with all this? Well, it'd be easy to say that God will provide all of our physical needs, but is that really what the psalm is saying? This is a psalm of David, and we know from the scriptures that there were a lot of times when David was without food. He spent some time on the run. He lived in the wilderness and in the desert for a time. So there was a good chance he knew hunger and he knew thirst. And we know that the world is full of people who don't know where their next meal is coming from, who don't have clean water to drink. So what is this psalm saying? And what does this mean for us? We aren't sheep in a desert, obviously. I'd venture to guess that most of us aren't worried about where our next meal is coming from. We may be curious about our next meal because we're hungry, but we're not worried that we're not going to get it. And most of us have a pretty good idea that when I turn the tap on at home, clean water will come out. You see, I think what David is really trying to express in this psalm is that he trusts God. That he relies on God. And that's not to say that there aren't some hard times along the way. And it's not to say that there aren't some times that you don't feel hunger or thirst or that you're a little annoyed with your good shepherd. But I think in David's mind, he's putting all of his trust into God. I shall not be in want. The Lord is good. The Lord provides. The Lord protects. And I'm going to follow. I'm not going to worry about the stuff that I can't do anything about anyway. I'm going to simply trust God. I'm going to trust that he's good, and I'm going to go his way. I think in many ways, David is putting his flag in the ground saying, I believe this is going to be the best way for me to live. I could go my own way. I could follow another shepherd, but instead, I'm going to follow the Lord, even if it gets hard, because I believe the Lord is good. I believe the Lord provides. And I believe it's just a better way to live. I'll close with this. About 1,000 years or so after this psalm was written, a guy who had some history talking about shepherds said, "So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Sounds very similar. Maybe we shouldn't worry so much about what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear, but we should seek him first. Seek our good shepherd first. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess that we sometimes are a little bit more like sheep than we would care to admit. We have a tendency to go our own way. We have a tendency to get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget who we are supposed to be following. We have trouble simply trusting. But Lord, you are our good shepherd. And so help us. Help us to follow you better. Help us be more aware of your presence. Help us remember who you are and who we are in light of that. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have showered upon us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.